the Holy Spirit to show us the wisdom that he wants us to have, so that whatever we're facing in life, God says, I got an answer. You just got to look to me. It's simple, right? We just know that as God shows up big time and does what he does in our lives, we know we're going to experience great blessings. We're going to experience the goodness of God in great measure. And that's why I love to be here with you guys. And, you know, the very fact is, even though it seems like it's a smaller group today, it doesn't matter. The presence of God is huge. Doesn't matter how many people come, you know, to the church. The very fact is God shows up huge and big and shows us that his love is awesome for every child that looks to him, that wants and desires his presence more than anything. Amen. And why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. And Father, we just want to thank you, knowing that as our hearts belong to you, Father, it is your desire to just truly let your holy presence abound in every way. And Father, we ask you now, as we know our hearts are submitted to you, we resist the devil. The devil has no choice but to flee. And in comes your presence. Oh, it floods our hearts and souls with your goodness. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this time as we come with hearts, minds, fullness of our whole self, surrender to you. We give it all to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, today we are in part 15 of the sermon series we started way back months ago, right? It's called Powerful Names of God. And guess what? Actually, it's the final message today. So we're going to be starting a new series in a couple of weeks. But you can say we saved the best for last, because today we're going to discuss the name. Guess what? We just sang the song. Abba, Father. And the word Father, you got to understand this. It's used of God only 15 times in the Old Testament. Okay, the word Father. But you know how many times it's used in the New Testament? 245 times God is referred to as Father. And we got to know this, though. The name Abba, Father, is even more special, as it shows the intimacy and care of God for his children. And who are his children? Us, because we believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And it can be translated Father or dearest Father. That's what Abba, Father means. And it also could have the same meaning as when a young child calls his father what? Daddy. You can just sense that intimacy when, you know, little Johnny would say, Daddy, can you give me a lollipop? You know, he's just like, oh, it's so special, yeah? And I got to show you something. I think I showed this to you maybe years ago in one of my sermons, but, you know, it's hung up in the little room, you know, our snack room. But it says here, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. You see that? And actually, my brother, Walton, bought this for my dad years ago, you know, when he was in college on Father's Day. And you can see, look, the man holding the little child's hand. And you think about that. Isn't that true? Anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. Because a daddy, usually, you know, is one that will show great love and just want and desire to be with the child. Because anyone can be a father. But to be a daddy shows that you're loving this child from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. And guess what? Same with our Abba, Father. And, you know, we can also see it was the name that Jesus taught his disciples to use in the Lord's Prayer. You guys remember Matthew 6:9? What does it say? Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. What? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, Jesus clearly pointed out to the disciples, said, when you pray, call God our Father. And we know when we can go to him and realize that we are his child and he is truly our Father and truly he is our daddy God, we can experience the fullness of his sweet and loving presence and realize that's exactly how he wants us to go to him. We want to go to him as him being our Father. And this name, Abba Father, is only mentioned three times in the Bible. Okay, only three times. And we're going to take a closer look at these three times, these three occasions as they are mentioned in the scriptures. So here's the question. So what does it mean for us as believers to call God Abba, Father. Well, look at number one. It says here, it means that we have Father God's Holy Spirit residing in us. And we're going to look at that scripture in Romans 8, and we're going to see what that all means. But, you know, I got to tell you, I remember when my brother and I were kids, my dad was a strong disciplinarian. I mean, he was the one who sometimes, you know, made it very clear, if we do not behave, yeah, he's going to let us have it. And usually it's with, you know, a rod, right? And as children, whenever we misbehave, we always heard our mom making this statement, just wait until your dad gets home, right? And, you know, and me and my brother going, oh, okay, oh no, we're in trouble, right? But I always remember my dad to be fair, you know, as he would always listen to us as we would plead our case, you know? And sometimes I would say, this is because of Walton, you know, he did what he did. And Walton, no, because of Ben, you know? And we would, you know, go back and forth. And sometimes he would have to lay down the law, which usually, like I said, was a stick to our behind, right? Especially when we were really unruly, okay? But, you know, when my brother and I didn't get along, you know, he would always remind us. You guys probably heard me say this, right? He always tell us, guys, remember, you are Ohana. And in the Ohana, we got to stick together, right? And it's still ringing in my head because he had said that so often. And he always took the time to speak into our lives. And even though he didn't become a Christian until his much older years, right, he spoke words of wisdom that have stuck with me even to this day. And I remember he told us, you know, another thing that I remember he always spoke into our lives was the very fact he told us, you know, that sometimes, guys, you're going to get hit hard in life. There's going to be people that's going to hurt you. But you got to roll with the punches. Try to dodge the punches if you can. But if not, let the punches be softened as you roll with the punches. And at first, we kind of think, what does he mean? But I guess as we go on through life, we realize, yeah, we don't have to be, you know, keep on being hit hard and let ourselves get to the point where all butts up. We realize we roll with the punches, we just keep going, right? And you could say, right, that my dad's spirit of wisdom stayed inside of me, stayed inside of my brother, and it had a lot to do with making us the people that we are today. And I had to think about that. And in the same way, you know, when we became Christians, we knew that as we spent time in God's word, as we prayed to God, we knew God was listening. And we knew God made things happen when we trusted in him, when we continually looked to him. And we knew that our thoughts and our attitudes started to change as the word of God really got a hold of our minds, got a hold of our hearts. Suddenly, hey, we desired to become more and more like Jesus. It was a desire. It was not something that was forced. It was something that we wanted to do. We desired the word of God, and we would want more than anything to become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And when that happened, we realized truly God became our Abba, Father. We knew that our own human spirit would no longer be alone. Because I want you to look at this scripture. Read this with me in Romans 8, 14 to 16. Ready? Go. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he what? Adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. I want you to understand, we are adopted as his children. It's when we made that decision to receive Christ into our lives. Because before that, he only had one begotten son. But we were adopted into his family when we made that decision to say, yes, Lord, I receive you into my life. I receive you into my heart. And look what it says there. It says his spirit, what? Joins with our spirit. So you got to understand, before we became followers of Christ, before we became Christians, yeah, we just had our own human spirit. But when we said yes to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of us. So you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. I got the Holy Spirit inside of me simply because we received his son, Jesus Christ, into our lives. And his Spirit, which is now inside us, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He guides and directs us through his word. And the more we receive his word, the more we realize how much we need his word. Guess what happens? Our spirit will yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, there were probably times, right? The Holy Spirit will be speaking to us and say, okay, Ben, do this. Ben, you got to forgive this person. Ben, you got to help this person. And sometimes, guess what? We make excuses. Oh, nah, not right now. Come on, God, I'm busy. I got a million things to do. Not right now. Or, you know what? I got to watch a basketball game. I don't need to go to Bible study. You know, I'll do it maybe in a couple of weeks. You know, and we keep on, you know, not listening to what the Holy Spirit may be saying to us. And we realize, you know, the Holy Spirit, he desires us to draw closer and closer to Father God. He wants us to cry out, Abba, Father, to him. But when we do that, it shows that our hearts are fully surrendered to him. And the Holy Spirit will always help us to draw closer and closer to Father God. I want you to look what it says there in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. Do you not know that your bodies are what? Temples of the Holy Spirit who what? Is in you. Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are what? You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So our bodies are temples. And what do you do at a temple? You worship. And we should be worshiping God each and every day. Because we know the Holy Spirit resides in you and he resides in me. And, you know, as a child submits to his or her parents, you know, the child honors them by what? Obeying them and following their example, you know. And, you know, kids, they watch us, right? I remember when Abby was like 4 or 5 years old. I remember sometimes I would get into a little argument, just a little, you know, tiff with Johnna Lee. And, you know, I remember Abigail would say, so, Dad, when you gonna make up with Mommy? You know, when you're going to say sorry, I don't know if she remembered this, but she was really young. And I know the only reason why she would say that is because she knew that in our house, there's a spirit of forgiveness. And we got to realize if we don't show that to our kids, guess what? They're just going to grow up and just, you know, be like the world. They're going to say, no, you hurt me. I'm going to hurt you back. You know, I'm never going to forgive you. Right? But the fact is, you know, a child, as they submit to their parents, they will honor them by following their example. And guess what? We're following the example of Jesus Christ. We're looking to God to help us do the very things that he wants us to do. Because guess what? If the child always wants to do things their own way, right, there's going to be a lot of tension, a lot of strife between him and his parents. And it's always going to be butting heads. You ever seen that where the child is always disagreeing with the parents? You know, especially, you know, maybe a teenager saying, no, I want to do things my way. Just leave me alone. And maybe they slam their door. Just get out of my room, right? And wow, you know, you realize that that happens. And we got to realize we have to tell our kids early on that, you know, we are following the example of Jesus Christ. And as you follow our example, realize you're going to be blessed because you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. And, you know, if the child always wants his or her own way, I mean, oh, man, there's going to be constant strife in the household. And I tell you, there are times I just walk into, you know, someone's house and I almost want to ask them, have you guys been fighting? You know, even though, you know, there's no indication of that. I got to tell you, it's real, that spirit of strife. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil, he's going to send forth these demonic spirits to try to break up families, try to get families to argue with one another so there's no peace. And we realize we got a choice. Are we going to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do? I want you to look what it says in Galatians 5, 16 to 18. I want you to read that with me. Ready? go. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are what? Conflict, butting heads, right? Conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And that's why it's so important as followers of Christ, as Christians, we always have to know that we got to be led by the Spirit. You know, if in a certain situation you just feel like, man, things are getting worse and worse and worse, start listening to the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Do not let your flesh be your guide, because your flesh sometimes will get you in deeper and deeper trouble. Because our flesh will say, hey, that guy doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Remember what he did to you? Our flesh will always pull us towards the world. And we realize we gotta listen and be led by the Holy Spirit of God, because that's the only way that we're gonna become more like Jesus Christ. That our hearts will be in tune with the Holy Spirit as we listen to what he tells us to do. You know, Pastor D.L. Moody, this is what he says. Just listen to his statement here. He says, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition of the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. It takes us to say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want that I'm always arguing with my spouse. I don't want it that my children are always upset with me. I don't want it that my coworkers are always kind of wondering if I'm going to do something to stab them in the back. We got to make a choice. We got to say no more. I'm a child of God. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I'm going to live a life that is true to God. When we empty ourselves, I'm going to tell you, when we make that choice to say, I'm going to empty myself of all these things that are of the flesh, that are of the world. When we empty ourselves, I'm going to tell you, you're going to start the infilling of the Holy Spirit coming powerfully upon your life. Suddenly you realize, oh, you're walking with power. You're walking with the presence of God. And people realize, wow, something has incredibly changed about you. It's because we started to realize, I got to do some changes in my life. I got to ask the Lord to help me empty of the things that has been causing destruction in my life. And as you do, guess what? You're going to have a powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, we got to understand something here. You know, that I'm just going to speak truthfully, because this includes me. Sometimes we can be like little brats. Come on. You know, because, you know, here's the thing. Like I said, this includes me too, right? Because we know, you know, sometimes we pray, we ask God to help us, and we ask him to bless us, and he has given us so much of his goodness and his blessings. Yet it seems, I hear this so often, right? People say, well, it's not good enough. It's not enough. And God has been pouring out his blessings. I've seen this. And I usually tell people, really? You really think God has not given you anything? And as they start to think about it, I say, make a list. Just make a list. You know, ask God to really show you what he has done. And sometimes they come up with a long list, and they go, wow, God has blessed me. And sometimes they say, Lord, I'm so sorry, you know. You have done so much, but I've been complaining so much. And sometimes we just got to stop. We got to realize God loves us so much. And he's been working from day one since you've been asking him what you needed. And we just got to realize as we do this, you're going to be less and less of a complainer. You got to be more and more grateful for what God has given to you. And suddenly you're going to realize you're not going to complain as much anymore. I want you to look at what Romans 8:23 says. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. And we believers also what? Groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Let's stop right there for a second, because who likes sin and suffering? Come on, raise your hand if you love it. Don't do that, right? Nobody likes to suffer, but there are times, yeah, we're going to suffer. But the most important thing you got to remember is that God says he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. If you just tune in to his voice, as you just tune in to his presence, you realize he is there. And you realize he's holding you. You realize that he says, you are my precious child. But let's read on. It says here, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us, what does it say there? Our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. And we know that day will happen. You know, the great white throne judgment and we know we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to judge us based upon the works we did for him while we were on this planet Earth. But guess what? It says God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. So do we have those full rights right now? Yeah, we do. But you know what? It gets even better. Because in the kingdom of God, there'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering, no disease, no tears. No anguish, no anxiety, no worry, because you're going to be constantly in the holy presence of God, where he's going to be there with you every step of the way, and he's going to shower his presence upon you forever and ever and ever. So that is what Paul is talking about here, those full rights, when we're going to experience a holy and blessed life without any negativity. It's only God's goodness at its fullness. No room for all these other stuff, right, that we have to face on this planet Earth today. No more. And he says we're going to get new bodies. And when we get new bodies, yeah, no pain, no disease, none of that. It's just the fullness of God's sweet presence upon your life forever and evermore. And we're going to be totally free from all of those things that, yeah, sometimes it feels like they're crushing us, right? And here's the thing we got to understand. I just talked with this young man, you know, just a few days ago, and he tells me, he says, Pastor Ben, I'm a Christian, but why is it that, you know, it seems like it's just getting worse and worse and worse? And I realize, you know, sometimes, like my wife John Lee will say sometimes we can be a mouthpiece for the devil. Because we speak forth such negativity. We say, oh, it's never going to get better. Oh, my trouble, my disease, or whatever it may be. I don't think it's not even getting a little bit better. You know, we are a mouthpiece for the devil. And we got to sometimes zip it up. Like John Lee said, zip the lip, right? And start speaking blessings upon yourself. You say, I am getting better each and every day because God is with me. Every day is a day unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And just see what happens when you stop being a mouthpiece for the devil, be a mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit of God. Speak blessings upon yourself, upon your family. And you're going to realize suddenly things will change in the atmosphere. You're going to see things getting better and better because you believe, you trust that God will bring forth his goodness. So we got to hold on to Abba Father and realize he loves us that much. As his children. But we know that when we are deeply troubled in life, we can count on Father God to give us his counsel through who? His Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Bible says. He is our advocate. He is our counselor. And sometimes, you know, when we know that sometimes life is just getting more and more difficult to handle, that's when you go to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit of God, I need your counsel. Show to me through your word, what must I do? And I want you to look what it says here in Luke 11, 11 through 13. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. It says here, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You just ask. You just ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. You ask him what you are to do to make this terrible situation just go away, you know? He'll give you the answers. If you just listen, if you just spend time in the Word, you know he's going to give you answers. He always does. And, you know, we got to understand, ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit's desire to create a strong intimacy between the believer and Papa God. Because every time he gives you counsel, he speaks the word upon you that brings just abundance of life upon your situation, you realize you're growing deeper and deeper in love with Papa God. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants you to get closer and closer in intimacy with Father God. And we know the Holy Spirit, as he counsels us, he gives us the desire to pray and call upon Abba Father. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the scripture tells us. The Holy Spirit will always want to draw our soul and spirit closer and closer to Abba Father. And so much so that when we start calling him Abba Father, it's just like that picture I showed you. It's just like we're holding the very hand of Father God, knowing that that's what he wants. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to just love us more and more. Amen? I want you to look at number two now. It says here, it means that the love of his son, Jesus Christ, is deep in our hearts. And let's look what the scripture says here in Galatians 4, 5 to 7. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. God sent him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so that he could, there's that word again, adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. I love that scripture. From this scripture, we realize the only way that we can call Father God, Abba, or Daddy God, right? His son has to be present in our hearts. He's not there. You can't call him Abba Father. Get that. This is what the scripture tells us. It says God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba Father. So if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you cannot call him Abba Father. Get that. Because sometimes people tell me, I just believe in God. Isn't that good enough? No, it ain't. You cannot call him Abba Father unless his son Jesus is deep in your heart. I want you to look what it says here in Ephesians 3, 16 to 18. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will, what does it say there? Make his home where? In your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. The only way, brothers and sisters, that God's love will grow deep and strong in our hearts is when Jesus make our hearts his home. Well, you may ask, so how do we know for sure that Jesus has made our hearts his home? Well, think about this. You know, if you, let's say you own your home, right? You're living in your home. Do you have to ask people to do what you want to do in your own home? No, you just do it, right? Because you own the home, you live in it, and it's your home, right? Well, let me ask you something. When Jesus speaks to your heart, his home, right? Meaning that he lives there and he owns it. That's very important. He lives there and he what? He owns it. Do you happily obey, or do you put up a fight said, I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I want to do that, you know, because that's what it is. God put Jesus there because he lives there and he owns your heart. And when Jesus is really the head over his home, your heart, there's going to be great peace in all of your relationships. And yes, and in actually your own physical home too. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, you can go into a person's home and you just feel that spirit of strife. You know, just, you know, people have been fighting in the house. But when you do what Jesus wants you to do, as he's deep in your heart, he has made your heart his home. Guess what? That ain't going to happen. There's going to be great peace in your household. And when Father God is Abba Father to us, it shows by how much we are able to love with the very love of Jesus Christ that is in us. And, you know, in the next verse, in 1 Corinthians 16, it will seem like it's for men, but it also applies to women. I want you to read this with me, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. Ready? Go. Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Act like mature men and be courageous. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. And this is the Amplified Version. It says here, what? Act like what? Men, right? It says, stand firm, be on guard, act like mature men, be strong. Can we do that? Well, for us that are men, right? But women too, right? It means be strong in your spirit. And it says here, let all that you do be done in what? In love. Is that manly? Is that a manly thing to do everything in love? Because it sounds like, because usually in our society, no, women can do that. Men can't, right? But we realize, yeah, as Christian men, yes, God has called everyone to love deeply with the love of Christ. Because, you know, many people think, right, when you say that, a person is meek and compassionate, right? Some people will say that those are signs of weakness, right? Because, you know, you're just like, you're going to be compassionate. You're going to be meek and mild. No, that's not being manly, right? But, you know, the Bible suggests otherwise. Because the Bible tells us we are to love how often? At all times. Just think about this. Men, you want to be a manly husband? Show your wife you love her. Do you want to be a manly father? Well, show your children that you love them. Do you want to be thought of as a manly man around town? Well, show your neighbors that you love them. Do you want to be considered a manly man at work? Well, show your coworkers that what? You love them. Do you want to be that big man on campus? Well, show your classmates that you love them. Pretty simple, yeah? Because here's the thing, if we are going to be really a manly man, you got to be transformed into the image of the one who created you. And the Bible tells us God is what? He's love. And he's called us to love. And if you're going to call him Abba Father, guess what? You got to be able to love at all times. You got to be choosing love over hatred, over, you know, whatever it is that's causing you to have, you know, angry feelings towards another person. You got to make a choice. I'm going to choose the love of God. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away, but you got to start somewhere. Ask God to help you. You know, even though that person is, you know, making your life miserable, say, Lord, help me to love this person because that's what you called me to do. Amen? And God will help you. And you know, a real man or woman will show God's love at all times. And know that you're not in it alone because God will always be there to help you. Amen? I want you to look at number 3 now. It says here, it means that because only Jesus himself and we as Christians can call Father God Abba Father, guess what? We also have a special relationship with Jesus as his brothers and sisters. Because that's something you got to think about. Because remember, only us as Christians and Jesus, that's all, right, can call Father God Abba Father. No one else. Nobody else. You don't believe in Jesus, you can't call him Abba Father. Very plain and simple. So think about this. If you know that only us and Jesus can call him Abba Father, that makes us and Jesus, guess what? brothers and sisters. And, you know, in the scriptures, the only time that Jesus actually called Father God, Abba Father, you guys know when that was? Was when he was in great anguish at the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember what Jesus did? This is the day that he would be taken by the Roman soldiers, right, to be crucified on the cross. And he desperately cried out to Father God. And after, you know, Jesus told his disciples to stay there and pray with him at the garden, right? This is what he said. I want you to look at Mark 14, 34 to 36. And this is the third case where we see Abba Father, right, in the verses here. Okay, read that with me. Mark 14, ready? Go. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Look what 36 says. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And you could say, just at that moment, while at the garden, Jesus was expressing his childlike dependency on Father God by calling him Abba Father. That's the only case you're going to see where Jesus calls Father God Abba Father. It's when he was in great distress. Isn't that true? You see little kids, right? They'll go to their parents, you know, mother or father, when they're like experiencing, you know, trouble, when they're experiencing some kind of hardship. Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, you know, they're like right there, straight to the parent, right? Yet Jesus, he knew, even though he cried out, Abba, Father, he knew that he was on a mission from Father God, and he had to go through what he knew he needed, had to be done, because he knew this was the only way that the brethren would be adopted by Father God. He knew he had to go through this pain and suffering and eventually death on a cross so that we could be once again reunited with the Father. I want you to look what it says here in Hebrews 2, 11 to 15. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. Okay, let's stop right there. He makes us holy because the fact is we made a choice to receive him into our hearts. And as we have done that, right, he helps us to become more and more like him. All right, let's continue on. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of what? Flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of what? Of death, right? And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And you know the Bible says, right? Death has lost its sting. Because we know we're going to live forever with Christ. Amen? And so, you know, even though he was great in great anguish, he cried out, Abba, Father. He says, no, not my will. Your will to be done. And he proceeded on to do what needed to be done. And the scriptures tells us in Hebrews 9:22. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we know in the Old Testament times, right, they sacrificed animals, right? But when Jesus did what he did, right, that was the final time when they had to sacrifice animals, because he shed his blood. And that's why the Bible says he was the spotless lamb, you know, yet he had to shed his blood. And he shed his blood because now there is forgiveness. God has forgiven us because of what Jesus had done. And, you know, that really exemplifies the love of God. You know, let me tell you about this certain medieval monk, right? He announced to his congregation, right, that he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. And so that day came, and as darkness came over the land, you know, light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, and the congregation slowly started to trickle in, right? And when they were all there, right, in the pitch darkness of the altar, right, the monk, he lighted a candle, and he carried it to the crucifix, which was a wooden cross with, you know, Jesus on top of it, right? So first of all, this monk, he illuminated the crown of thorns. He took the candle and he just put it there, and you could see the crown of thorns. Next, he took the candle and he illuminated the two wounded hands of Jesus. And then the last candle, he illuminated the marks of the spear wound. And in the hush that just fell across the whole congregation, he blew out the candle, and then he left the chapel. That was his sermon. And I don't think, okay, Pastor Ben, I wish I had more sermons like that. You know, no, but we realized, right, that was it. That's all that was needed to be said, because we know, as brothers and sisters in the faith, you know, the fact is, when we realize Jesus did what he did for you and for me, enough, enough said. He suffered and he died for my sins. And we glorify Jesus Christ. We glorify God for his most awesome love. And you know, Jesus, he calls us to love each other deeply. Because in this world, sometimes it's just on a superficial level. We can just say, oh, I love you. But do you really mean it? Is it from deep within your heart? Because if you love with the love of God, it has to be love that is deep. It shows that you are willing to what? To sacrifice. Because that's what this is all about. That is the real demonstration of God's love, that he was willing to sacrifice his own son for you, for me. I want you to look what it says here in 1 John 3:16. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Go. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Wow. This is real love, brothers and sisters. Are you willing to sacrifice, even to the point of what? To the point of death, because Jesus did it. And this is what Jesus told us. This is how you know what real love is. You're willing to sacrifice for your brethren. And what it comes down to is that, you know, we serve Jesus by serving others, by serving other people. You know, there's this story that tells about this wealthy American traveler who visited this hospital in Southeast Asia. And as he walked in, right, a young missionary nurse was there cleaning the sores of a sick, dirty, elderly man who had been found lying in the gutter. And, you know, the rich man said to the nurse, you know, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. You know, she answered quietly and firmly, neither would I. And what we realize, money couldn't buy her extreme and full devotion to Jesus Christ, because her life was broken and spilled out for the love of Jesus Christ. You know, she was saying, even me, I wouldn't do it. You know, I wouldn't receive that $1 million from you, because the fact is she was already doing it. And she was doing it because of the compassion, the love of Christ that was so evident in her life. Amen? I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. And let's read that first verse together in 1 John 3:1. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And we know God's great love is lavish. What does it mean, lavished? It means in great abundance, right? Not a little bit. God has given a huge amount of his love upon us, realizing, yeah, we are called children of God. And no matter what the world may think of us, we are very precious to Father God because he sees us as his very own. We are his kids. We are the king's kids. Amen? And I got to tell you, there's this story, right, that tells of this American GI soldier who does his tour of duty in Korea many, many years ago, right? So while he was there on a weekend, you know, he spends a night with a native Korean woman, and guess what? Ends up getting her pregnant. And so after the child was born, right, many of the woman's relatives ridiculed this infant baby girl, you know, because she looked so different from everyone else, and the father of this child was nowhere to be found. Right? He just disappeared, right? So many of the mother's friends showed disgust for this child, and they cruelly decided to give her the nickname Tookie. You know what Tookie means? Ugly. Imagine calling a child ugly. And as she grew up, everyone called her by this terrible name, and she ultimately believed that she was as horrendous as everyone believed her to be, because everyone called her Tookie. And at the age of 6 years old, right, her mother decided that she didn't want her anymore. So you know what she did? She abandoned her at this public village park. Get this now, 6 years old. She was left alone to fend for herself, eating leftovers and discards from a trash can and keeping warm with other strangers during the night. Eventually, she was picked up by the local authorities and was brought to an orphanage home. And while she was there, she was given the responsibility to care for the other younger children. So she basically fed them, groomed them, bathed them, and dressed them on a daily basis. And one day, the orphanage was told that there's this American Christian couple that will be coming to their facility, and they're looking to adopt a baby boy. So everyone knew, right? Whoever this couple would choose, right, as their own, you know, child, this baby's life would forever be changed. Because not only were they well-to-do, but they displayed a genuine character of kindness, gentleness, and love. You have to understand, Tookie was not really well cared for by the staff at the orphanage. You know, she had knots in her hair. She had head lice. Her body and clothing were filthy, dirty, and filled with grime. Yet she has the job to scrub and clean up all the young male boys so that they would look presentable to the couple. So the couple came, right, and after looking at all the baby boys, they had an idea of who would be their chosen one. But as the husband was ready to talk to the caretaker of the orphanage, he saw at the corner of his eye, there's Tookie standing all alone by one of the pillars. He then asked the caretaker, "Who is she?" And the caretaker explained to him, you know, her situation and said, you know, that she had been there for many years and that no one wanted her. And as the American went to Tookie, he bent down to Tookie's level, right, so that they were at eye-to-eye level so that, you know, he could see her face. Tookie immediately turned away, looked down as if she was so ashamed by her looks and appearance. She didn't want anyone to look at her. The American just gingerly, gently, just embraced her tiny and filthy little body and turned to the caretaker and said, "I want this one." Shortly thereafter, Tookie was adopted by this American couple, and no doubt her name was changed immediately. She was never called Tookie again because the new father, in his eyes, saw great beauty in his newly found daughter. And she was nothing but beautiful in his eyes. True story. And we realize, well, that's all I know. But we realize that's how it is with us and Father God. Because, you know, I knew there were times in my life I'm thinking, oh, no one loves me. Oh, look at me. Why would anyone want to love me? And God, he took a look at me when I said yes to his son, Jesus Christ. I knew I was precious in the eyes of God, and so are you. It's no matter what people think of you in this life, realize God always sees you as being so valued because you are his precious child. Amen? I want you to read this last scripture with me in 1 Peter 2:9. Read it with me. Ready? Go. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. You're no longer in darkness, brothers and sisters. You are in the light of God because Jesus Christ is inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God resonates his presence as you live for him, as you choose to say, Lord, I'm all yours. Amen? And we got to know as a child of God, we are victorious in every situation because God is always going to bring victory in your life as you look to him, as you trust in him. Amen? And I want to conclude with this video. Clearly tells us as a child of God, we're always going to be victorious. Benson, could you play that video, please?
Hear this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you're talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks, he thinks, he talks, he feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible to you.
Praise God, praise God. And we know we can go to Abba Father anytime. And we ask him, no matter what it is, don't be afraid, ask him. He's your Papa God. He's your Daddy God. And he loves you so much, more than you could ever imagine. And he will provide for you. He will give you what your hearts desire if you have faith to believe, if you trust him with all of your heart. Amen? Praise God. When we go, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Our Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message today. And Father, we are so glad that we can call you Abba Father, because we know that that's a privilege only for Jesus himself and for all of us who are children of God, because we put our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, knowing that as we can just simply ask of you, because you are Abba Father, Lord, you'll be more than happy, more than glad to help us in any way and provide us in any way that will show to us and the world that truly you are real, that your love for us is so real. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, after listening to this sermon, I realize, man, there are times that I doubted God. There are times that I felt like God couldn't do anything for me. But I realized he's my Abba Father. And if I love him as Daddy God, he will never disappoint me. He will never fail me. Oh, and just like Tukey, we know that he's longing to hold us in his arms and say, you are my precious child and I love you so much. And no matter what the world will say, no matter what the world thinks of us, we know, Father, we know what your word tells us, that we are so valued by you, that we are your precious children. And we are so glad that we can call you Abba Father. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I want to tell God right now that my heart is all his, that from this day forward, I will see him as Abba Father. And when I can go to him and when I pray to him, I want to have that intimacy with him, knowing that he is my Papa God and I am his precious child. And right now, it's your heart's desire to say, Lord, I'm all in for you. I want to live for you all the days of my life. And as I call you Abba Father from this day forward, if I haven't been doing so, I pray as I call you Abba Father, Lord, that your sweet love will just flow so deep and strong inside of me. As I know the Holy Spirit lives in me and your Son Jesus Christ lives in my heart, I want your presence to abound in every way in my life. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, yes, that is me, Pastor Ben. I want God more than anything else. I want to call him Abba Father. Can you just raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else saying Abba Father? Can you just cry out to him? Just say Abba Father. Abba Father, I need you. Abba Father, I love you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can put your hands down. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. As we're saying, yes, I believe in you, Abba Father. I live for you for all the days of my life. Father, I pray that your holy presence will just fall afresh upon them right now in Jesus' name. Oh, let your love just fall deep and strong upon their minds and their hearts right now. Let there be great peace in their hearts and souls as they realize they are so loved by you, our Abba Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him glory, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we all stand? Let's give God praise and